Every Thursday night, you ask the questions, DT gives you his answers. No holds barred.
It's Q&A with Don Tony. This is your chance to speak your mind and be heard about anything.
Q&A with Don Tony. And now, your host, Don Tony.
All right. How's everybody doing? Yours truly, Don Tony, is back once again with your mailbag. Now, the air date for this episode should be Thursday, August 18th. I'm recording it Tuesday afternoon, August 16th. I'm on my lunch hour, so I can't stay here forever, but we will definitely get into all of your questions. Really, really great questions sent in. And I thank all of you out there for not making me really use too many brain cells in preparing this episode. A lot of the questions are pretty much cut and dry. Some out there, I think they expect me to spend 30 minutes just on their stuff, so we had to trim it down, but I'm going to get right into it. And I want to thank you, as always, for your support. Much appreciated. I really look forward to doing these mailbags. Yes, we do Q&As throughout the shows, but this is much different. Because this, you know, has a lot of... Fuck.
Every Thursday night, you ask the questions, DT gives you his answers. No holds barred.
It's Q&A with Don Tony. This is your chance to speak your mind and be heard about anything.
Q&A with Don Tony. And now, your host, Don Tony.
All right, we don't have 32,750 emails to get into, thank God. But we have quite a few. This is your mailbag for Thursday, August 18th, 2022. I'm actually recording this Tuesday afternoon, August 16th, 2022. I'm on my lunch hour, which means I can't spend the whole day with all of you today. But we got a lot of questions from the mailbag. I want to thank everyone who sent them, whether our community section over at YouTube or the email, which is dontony@dontony.com. Very easy to remember. And I'm going to get right into it. Now, we do this mailbag every other week so we could fill it up quite nicely. And what is really, really cool about the mailbags that we're doing is most of your questions are not something that would be outdated if we didn't answer it in a couple of days. So there's some really good ones in this one, and I'm going to get right into it because that's why you're here. Don't forget, if you enjoy this episode, make sure you give it a thumbs up. If you're not a subscriber yet, subscribe. Have a pretty nice family over here. Great atmosphere, great vibes, and that's how it'll always be. Kevon Lewis, shout out to you, my friend. What's my opinion on Shawn Michaels being the guy behind the NXT stars that have been invading Raw and SmackDown, the former previously released stars? Yes, Karrion Kross was on the main roster, but I think everybody remembers these stars, Dexter Lumis, Karrion Kross, Scarlett, Hit Row. I think they think of them more as NXT because they had a much greater success in NXT. Now, as far as Shawn Michaels being revealed as the one behind this invasion, first of all, we don't know if it's an invasion yet. You know, this was an idea that I threw out there a week ago when we first saw Dexter Lumis show up. That was even before Karrion Kross. I'm not sure if it's going to be an invasion. I personally think so. We got Survivor Series coming up. I mean, you have a faction of former WWE/NXT stars that really want to take it out on the main roster Maybe they feel a lot of jealousy. They feel that they were underutilized. That's an easy storyline, and it's very believable. Unfortunately, when I look at Shawn Michaels these days, he comes off more like an uncle than anything else. I mean, look at him. Could you picture, let's be honest, look, we're all Shawn Michaels fans. One of the greatest of all time, no question. But I just can't picture him showing up on Raw or SmackDown with the intentions that he is out to destroy WWE or show that NXT is the superior brand. I think Triple H, even though I don't expect it, Triple H would be what Eric Bischoff was with the NWO. You know, we didn't have social media like we do now. And the internet was still very far in its infancy, even though the internet was around for a couple of years before Bischoff became a part of the NWO. But Bischoff being executive producer, having the power that he did, and then him wanting NWO to take over WCW was a very, very credible, believable storyline at the time. If Triple H gives that storyline that he wants to push his guys to the promised land. And the Vince guys, you know, I don't think they want to keep bringing up the thought of Vince. Now, we know this investigation is all but over. I don't think we're going to find anything else that would result in any criminal accusations. That Netflix documentary, you will ultimately hear it picking up and finishing up. Vince McMahon will be celebrated at the end of the day. I know a lot of people don't like him. I know a lot of people feel that he was way out of touch. But at the end of the day, Vince McMahon is the biggest person ever to be in the world of pro wrestling. He is responsible for so much, whether you like it or not. And guess what? The negative things that he did led to alternatives. You know, so look, wrestling, I owe a lot to Vince McMahon. I've been a fan since 79 when I was just a child. And, I can't take that away. I do not condone his behavior. It's disgusting. I would not want to be one of his family members. I would not want to be his wife. I'd be embarrassed if he was my father. But as far as a wrestling fan goes, I can't belittle the guy. But Shawn Michaels is the leader of that. I don't see it. I just don't see it. Not at this, maybe a couple of years ago, but not now. Nero Fay, tuning in all the way from Israel. Shout out to you. If Johnny Gargano comes back to WWE, do I think it's best for him to come back as a single star, team up with Ciampa to reunite DIY, or maybe even team up with someone like Theory to reunite the way? And also, is it safe to say that Shinsuke is the most successful Japanese male wrestler in WWE history? Yeah, I could see that argument. You know, if we're talking about, you know, World Wrestling Entertainment and not World Wrestling Federation, I wouldn't say that Antonio Inoki had unbelievable success in WWF back in the day. But, yeah, I think you could go with that as far as Shinsuke. I don't think there's any argument there. Johnny Gargano, I think, you know, if he were to come back, it would be awesome if Candice LeRae was with him as well. Sure, we don't see many mixed tag matches on WWE television. We don't have that tournament anymore, you know, that we had in the past where you can have some good mixed tag matches going down. Would they reunite the way? I don't know if that would be something that the main WWE universe would embrace in droves. You know, just because something was pretty good in NXT doesn't mean that it's meant for a much, much bigger audience. I think Gargano and Ciampa as a tag team would be phenomenal. Especially if Triple H is going to put a lot more weight into the men's tag team division once again. I absolutely would love it. Maybe you bring in Gargano as a single star, and then you gradually lead them in. Because, look, Ciampa needs The Miz right now. I know some people think that's insane when I say that, but believe me when I tell you. When Miz gets the heel heat from the fans, anybody that's with him, it's like a magnet. You know, Miz is helping Ciampa more than you know. Do I think Ciampa ultimately could turn on the Miz, turn babyface? Sure. Miz could turn on Ciampa. I don't know if I want DIY as a heel team or a babyface team. I lean towards babyface, but WWE has a good share of babyface tag teams already. Now, if AOP were to come back, yeah, that'd be a little bit, you know, more even playing ground. Los Lotharios, you know, there's got to be a lot of repair with that team if we're going to feel that there's any, you know, I don't want to say legitimacy. They are legitimate guys, but as far as threats to the tag titles, I just don't feel it. You know, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, if they reform a tag team and they do reform as baby faces, which could happen, you know, it would be interesting to see how much the tag team division changes just like that. So I would prefer Gargano with Ciampa more than anything else. So, all right, Roderick Howard. Who do I see beating Braun Breaker for the NXT title? Could I see a winner-take-all scenario between Breaker and Carmelo Hayes, with Hayes emerging as the next champion? I see Solo Sikoa winning that championship. I think Solo Sikoa needs that moniker, that part in his resume, former NXT heavyweight champion, before he goes to the main roster. I think Carmelo Hayes could go to the main roster right now. Would he be primed to be in the main events? No. No. But believe me, as a compliment on SmackDown, sure, I could see Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams already on the main roster. I don't think Carmelo Hayes needs the NXT Heavyweight Championship under his resume as much, because if he breaks out to megastardom, no one's going to look back and say, oh, he should have been NXT Heavyweight Champion. They've done a great job with Carmelo Hayes in NXT. I don't see many people complaining like, oh, how come they didn't put the belt on Carmelo Hayes? But Solo Sikoa, though, I think he definitely needs it. And I think a lot of people want it. And I do think it's going to happen. So that kind of answers both as far as Hayes and Breaker. Carmelo Hayes, you know, loser leaves NXT. I don't think you need that with Breaker, with anybody like that. You know, Santos Escobar and Tony D'Angelo, that should have been clear-cut, loser leaves NXT. NXT is not big enough for the both of us. You know, real deep hatred. Maybe down the line you could have Roxanne Perez and Cora Jade do a loser leaves NXT and one of them go into the main roster. I think real deep hatred feuds, heated, intense feuds, should be the only ones with loser leaves NXT. It's not a bad idea, but I think you keep that for the more deep, you know, dark feuds. I remember the ECW when Raven and Tommy Dreamer, they feud for years. Tommy Dreamer, the first win that he got, it wasn't loser leaves ECW, but Raven left right after that. He was gone. Mark Hicks the second. Do I believe Triple H will use the WWE draft again? Absolutely. Talked about it on the show a few times. It is happening within the next 2 months. It is definitely happening. I personally think it will happen towards the latter part of September, early October at the latest. The draft will happen. Triple H will get the opportunity to re-roster Raw and SmackDown to where he thinks it'll be more competitive feuds, new fresh feuds. You know, a couple of different championship scenarios. So, yes, the draft will definitely be utilized. Also, a brand split again. My friend, there is a brand split. It is a brand split. We all know WWE owns everything. So, if Drew shows up on Raw, big deal. If somebody shows up on SmackDown, big deal. There's still a brand split. It doesn't have to be clear-cut that people cannot show up. You know, it was too restrictive in the beginning. We want to see great matches. Last night on Raw, and yes, I'm recording this Tuesday the 16th, we had Kevin Owens versus Drew McIntyre. Kevin Owens is a Raw wrestler. Drew McIntyre is a SmackDown wrestler. And the match was fabulous. Nobody's complaining that a SmackDown wrestler showed up on Raw. Doesn't have to be so restrictive that can only happen 4 times a year. We just want good shit. We want good matches. And we want fresh matches. Maybe a match we haven't seen in a while. You can repeat matches. Of course, you'll always have to repeat matches. You know, there's only so many combinations that you can go, you know, and keeping the fans' interest. So the brand split's still here. It never left. Who could be the next AEW star? AEW star to jump ship to WWE, and who could jump ship from AEW to WWE? Well, that's the same question. Well, I talked about this last week. You know, it's going to be someone whose contract runs out. I know, be prepared. You're going to hear rumors eventually. Someone's going to realize, holy shit, I should make this a story. Oh, my sources tell me that some wrestlers in AEW may request to be let out of their contract from Tony Khan so they could go to WWE. You know, it's so easy to say that without naming names. We could say it right now. Hey, friends, our sources tell us that there's a few wrestlers in AEW are seriously considering asking Tony Khan to be let out of their contract so they could go to WWE. Will Tony Khan grant those releases? Doesn't that sound like a big story? How do you disprove that? How do you disprove that? Did I say that they asked Tony Khan? No, they're considering it. How do you dispel that as fake news? So you're going to hear this. Anybody that does this shit for a living that's trying to get attention on their shows or their sites are going to pull this. You know, I just am enjoying doing the sausage stuff because we've been throwing this shit out there before others. And you notice, like, people wait now weeks before they try to throw something very similar of what we've said. It's pretty funny, you know, to do it before they do. You know how many websites, no joke, that are like, son of a bitch, this motherfucker wrote that before we could have a chance to put that out there. Whoever jumps ship is going to be somebody that, you know, whose contract is coming to an end that wants to go and work for Triple H. You hear the rumors about Adam Cole. You hear the rumors about Miro. Those are just wrestling fans fantasizing. Some of these wrestlers left, not simply because of Vince, not simply because of, you know, the old creative. There's a lot of other factors involved. Just keep in mind that a lot of wrestlers on the lower card of the AEW roster, WWE has no interest in. You know, I read recently that Triple H wants Konosuke Takeshita. Based on what? Based on people who love Konosuke Takeshita and think, oh, he'd be a great addition in WWE. You think Triple H told anybody behind the scenes in WWE? And then they went and told a news site online, hey, Triple H wants Takeshita. You know, it's so easy to do things like that. Not everybody that is in AEW, WWE wants. Some wrestlers that will remain in AEW, they may say publicly, no, AEW is my home. I would never leave it. And they know deep down inside, in reality, WWE, from what I understand, has showed no interest in me. I haven't heard it. You know, it's very easy to send out a feeler to an AEW wrestler and vice versa. It's very easy. You do it to friends. I saw it with my own eyes. When I was working for Frank Goodman in USA Pro Wrestling in the mid-2000s, and we had shows where we had TNA stars on the show, and we also had some people working for WWE, Tommy Dreamer, great example. You know, so you had WWE in the house and TNA in the house, and you heard people talking to each other. You know, when are you going to come back? When are you going to come back? You know, friends talk like that. You know, people online like, oh, that's illegal. That's breach of contract. My ass, it's breach of contract. You know, you got friends in different places that would, you know, and company would love to see you back. Yeah, some of your friends would say, hey, you know, WWE would love to have you back. It's not contract infringement or tampering or anything like that. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. People online, it's the same people out there that are looking at the Ring of Honor Tony Khan situation, Sinclair, Tony Khan. Actually, a question comes up soon about that because there's a lot of reports going on out, flowing around out there about, oh, Tony Khan didn't like completely buy Ring of Honor. These are people, we'll get to the question because I know we have kind of touched on that already, but I'd rather give you a full professional answer to that. Very easy to understand. Dominic Gibson from Philly. Great timing. Did I hear the reports that Tony Khan doesn't fully own Ring of Honor and Sinclair still has partial ownership? Listen, this is the best way I could put this. You read that from people online. One person in particular that doesn't have a job, that podcast. And I'm not saying podcasts for a living is a bad thing, but this is not an esteemed journalist that has tens of thousands of people tuning into his stuff. This is someone that looked at corporate documents and interpreted it in a way that they think, oh, wait a minute, this still shows this name and this stuff. We're still in a goddamn COVID era. And some things in the government take months and months and months to update. You don't just go on a website, read something, and say, ah! Sinclair is a, what, billion-dollar company? Do you think Sinclair would be that reckless? And then people are like, oh, well, Joe Koff, he's upset and worried that if anything could have gone wrong, that Sinclair would have been sued. Like, here's the truth. Here's the truth. Tony Khan was overexcited about the purchase of Ring of Honor. And should he have had the April event? Maybe not, because this is a process. Taking a company as big as Ring of Honor with a 20-year history, with a library and everything else, that's going to take more than a couple of weeks to complete. Shit, I do insurance for a living, and I got people that are taking 6 months to try to buy a house. So much complications with paperwork. This is a much bigger process. And the thing is that because Tony Khan and his lawyers are not on this shit, mucho, rapido, rapido, it's taking a little bit longer. Personally, there is no way that that sale could have been finalized in the keys given to Tony Khan in April before WrestleMania weekend. You know, it's impossible. So Tony Khan, with the blessing of some people in Ring of Honor, allowed him to run the Ring of Honor show in the fans' eyes that Tony Khan now owes Ring of Honor. But it's a process. And most of that process is complete. But this idea that, oh, there could be problems and this, these are just people looking at websites and trying to interpret it. You think $1 billion, the shareholders in Sinclair, investors, would be extremely fucking worried that a liability like Ring of Honor could be subject to outside exposure out of the control of Sinclair because Tony Khan has got his hands all over it. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Is it kind of a messy process? Sure. Is it taking long? Sure. But the idea that they still partially own this and this, this and that, don't buy into it. Joey Bottles. Hey, how you doing? Joey Bottles. What's going on? I know you're getting your shit together for the sit down. Let me ask you, what's all this shit about AEW might get canceled by Warner Brothers? Any smoke to that fire? No smoke at all. No smoke at all. There's always going to be people out there predicting doom and gloom. There are always going to be people out there that will interpret something and think, oh, there's no way that Warner this, Warner that. You know, when we had the Warner Media, Discovery merger, or what, that deal that went down, there was a lot of people that were like, you should be worried about this and you should be worried about that. And look at this female that's in charge and look at this person and this isn't. And the person that was interested in AEW originally with Warner Media is no longer there. And look at this. And people are coming up with their own conclusions. No one knows the future of AEW and Warner Media other than Warner Media themselves and Tony Khan. And maybe one or two people in Tony Khan's inner circle. There ain't no one out there that has any clue of what's going on. So any rumors of anything like that is just people speculating, guessing, trolling, hoping, not everybody likes AEW, remember that. No, there's no smoke to that fire whatsoever. None. Zero. James Campbell, what odds would I give to Survivor Series this year having four big matches, those being two heavyweight titles and tag titles being split, especially what seems like a bit of a revived tag division? As of right now, Drew McIntyre is the favorite to win against Roman Reigns. I know that sounds crazy, but a lot of people feel it's time. And remember the scenario I brought up a couple of weeks ago. Drew McIntyre, his character, his persona, he would be the one that would turn around if he becomes unified champion. I have two belts here, and I'm a fighting champion. I will fight the Universal Championship on SmackDown, the WWE Championship on Raw. I'm a fighting championship. Bring it on. Bring it on. And then Drew will lose one of those belts. That's pretty much what's going to happen. With the tag titles, it's a little bit different because they don't have as many major players in the tag team division right now. Sure, the Street Profits are there. I don't know why WWE didn't jump the gun with them. Maybe Owens and Zayn, you know, form and do it. Maybe RK-Bro returns as a team and does it. Maybe a new tag team forms. It's not even in WWE right now. Could end up doing it. Until you build up that tag team division a little bit more, we cannot assume that those tag titles will be split up quickly. But I will say this. If the heavyweight title ends up splitting up the Universal and WWE, the tag titles will follow shortly thereafter. You know, sure, Becky was Becky Two Belts. She was the only one holding two titles. Doesn't mean that every title either has to be unified or not unified. And I kind of like occasionally having someone holding two belts and it being a unified. It makes that person feel a little bit bigger than your usual champion. So I hope they still consider unified champions here and there. They don't have to do it every year, but I don't want to see that go away and then not come back for a very long time. If someone is in that position where, you know, they should be looked at as that much more dominant than everyone else, yeah, have them hold up two belts, whether it's a tag team or singles. Dominic McClim, what are my thoughts on Woodstock 99? Did I plan on going to it back then? No, I had no intention on going to Woodstock 99. That was a train wreck waiting to happen. You know, I don't remember much of Woodstock 99, but I'll tell everybody this. You know, I looked at the list of people who were there that time, and, you know, some of the groups that I would have wanted to see would have been Third Base. I used to love Third Base, the rap group. James Brown was still alive, Sheryl Crow, DMX, ICP, 1999. Yeah, I would have went to see them. Kid Rock, Wyclef Jean, and it goes down the line. Metallica was there. Even Everclear, I probably would have wanted to see. Look, I know a lot of you are a lot younger than me. Maybe some of you weren't even alive in 99, which makes me feel very depressed right now. Good for you, bad for me. But I'll say this. I was always into club music. And the late 80s, I used to go to clubs all the time and party. And one of my bucket lists that pissed me off that I was never able to do was I always wanted to go overseas to the United Kingdom in the late 80s to go to a rave party. I went to rave parties here in New York, and they were awful. They were terrible. But to see, you know, Summer of Love, if anyone out there doesn't know what I'm talking about, if you're curious, go on YouTube, just type in Summer of Love 88 and look at house music, techno music, and, you know, some other genres at the time. And you would have these warehouse parties, and you would have thousands of people get together. No violence, no attempted assaults, if you know what I mean. You know, everybody just had a great time. Sure, a lot of people were on ecstasy. You know, I never tried ecstasy, and I have no intentions on ever taking it. But I know a few people that had, and my God, you know, I'm not exaggerating when I say this. Some of these people are on ecstasy. If you would have told them that a close family member just passed, if you told them that they got diagnosed with terminal cancer, the person that took it, you could have told them every possible tragic thing. And it would have been like, well, then we got to enjoy the time we have left. You know, and like it just put you in a mood. And yes, you know, it made some people want to get a little bit promiscuous. But there was nothing but love in the air. Woodstock 99, not everybody had bad intentions, but there were a lot of people that did. And when you get a couple hundred thousand people, I know they were trying to make it the 30-year anniversary of Woodstock 69, but to me, that was only 10, 11 years after the Summer of Love 88 with the rave parties. And this was a much different culture, a much different atmosphere, a much different group of people. And it spelled big problems. Any gathering that you do now with that massive amount of people, to me, you have to expect some serious negative shit to go down. And yes, few people spoil it for everyone else. But me, even now, you know, I would not go to any big functions like that. It's not even about COVID. But no, I had no intention on going to that at that time. So, James Campbell with WWE bringing back a decent amount of released wrestlers due to budget, previously to budget cuts. What conclusion do I come to the actual reasoning behind the releases? Maybe not talented enough in-ring or promos, just pissing the wrong people backstage, pissing them off. No, it's simple. It's very simple. And, you know, I've discussed this before, and it's very hard to compare it to our personal lives, but in WWE, managing money is one of the biggest positives investors want to see, that you manage your money the right way. And with WWE, they put a certain amount of money aside for talent, certain amount of money aside for this, certain amount of money aside for this, certain amount of money aside for that, just like you would budget in your house. You know what kind of money you have coming in. So you put $1,000 a month aside for groceries. You put $1,000 a month aside for utilities. You put $500 a month aside for TV and phone. You put this, and then you have money left over. You put it in the bank. And when you start building that nest egg, you know, it's a good thing. If you don't manage your money properly, you're just asking for disaster down the line. And especially during COVID, you know, WWE was not touring, was not making revenue in a lot of ways because they weren't touring. And they realized that for our budget, we need to keep it this amount of money. We don't need 200 wrestlers. We could get away with 80. Or first you start, okay, we could get away with 100. So you let go 40. Then you realize, oh, we could get away with 80. So you let go another 20. Then you realize, shit, we only need 70. And then you realize we got Brock, we got Roman, we got this, we got that. Good. Let everybody work elsewhere. We're not worried. Look at the assets that we kept. So it's almost like playing Monopoly, and you have a crazy amount of assets, but you know you have to be prepared that if you land on a property you don't own, you got to pay money. So you try to consolidate. And that's what WWE did. So, you know, a lot of people online, they knew what budget cuts meant. The people out there that were ignorant, and I'm not criticizing them, they think budget cuts means financial problems. And that is not true. WWE wanted to put $50 million in payroll. I'm just using an example. $50 million in payroll towards the wrestlers. That's the budget. $50 million in payroll. So we want to keep it under $50 million. So if our payroll right now is $70 million and we release someone, oh, why am I being released? Budget cuts. People online think, oh, but they don't have financial problems. They have record profits. Yeah, because they don't understand. And look, let's be honest. A lot of people did do the research and they know exactly what budget cuts meant with WWE, but they preferred to act ignorant so they could trash WWE. You know now that when WWE said budget cuts, it has nothing to do with financial problems. It's just that they have to, they committed to their investors that a certain amount of money would be in the budget towards payroll. And they trimmed it down for that budget. Anybody over that that was released, it was to cut to keep within the budget. Simple. People ignored that so they can do this PC, politically correct, you know, emotional tweets like, oh, they're making record profits and they're telling people budget cuts. How fucked up is that? And it sounds great and you get 10,000 likes from it. But then when you realize the truth and what it actually means, that's why the person who tweeted that isn't even working in a gas station. Does not understand what business actually is. And some people don't want to know it because they'd rather just get the emotional tweets, the likes, the hits, the attention. You know, there's some people that live every day based on that. You know, I got to knock something, even if it's not true, because that's the only way people go my way. You know, sooner or later, it fizzes out. It may take years for some people, but sooner or later, it fizzes out. So look at what's going on right now. I tweeted this earlier today and then I deleted it. I'm like, you know what? Fuck these people. But, you know, I'm watching a ton of people who, for the last couple of years, called out others who were almost embarrassing you because you're not a diehard huge fan of AEW. How many times you go online, eh, I'm not that big of a fan of AEW. What are you, fucking stupid? The fuck, you're not like AEW. Don't tell me you fucking love WWE. And they almost guilt you like you're doing something wrong because you're not this hardcore follower of AEW. There were a lot of people that called those people out. And now those people who called out those radicals, now those people are doing it to you with WWE. The fuck, you do not see that WWE is doing this and Triple H is this. How the fuck are you? What are you, stupid? They have become the thing that they criticized. Stay away from those people. I'm telling you, stay away because they need the drama. You know, save the drama for your mama. They need the drama they got to feed off of it. There's a lot of people out there that feed off of drama. And that's why, like I said, with the budget cuts thing, you could have said it till you're blue in the face. Hey, listen, guy, gal, person with 10,000 likes on this. Budget cuts does not mean financial problems. WWE told their investors that they have a certain amount of money for the budget for payroll and they have to stay under that amount. Nobody wants to fucking hear that. You write that, everybody will ignore you. The breakdown. Break it down. Speaking of surprises, do I think today's wrestling climate rely too heavily on surprises? Yes. Yesterday's Raw, when Theory pinned Ziggler and they went off the air with nothing else, people like, huh? Huh? Yeah. Yeah. Because it's episodic television. Not everything is a crackerjack surprise. Not everything is, oh my God, I got to see the lights go off. Oh my God, I need to see somebody run down the rampway. Oh my God, I got to see somebody going through the crowd. Oh my God, I need to see a running. Those are fun. But when people expect it, it becomes the norm. And when it becomes the norm, it's not special anymore. And then when you have wrestlers, think about this. Theory and Ziggler put on a clinic last night, a clinic. And people were complaining that all we got to close out Raw was a regular wrestling match. Let that sink in a little bit. And you think about all the Triple H, the gushing, the different vibe, and we get a spectacular wrestling match to end the night. And for a lot of people, that was not good enough. The same people that have been saying the opposite the last 3 weeks. So, yeah, people are relying on it way too much. Way too much. Should Triple H get the same treatment for bringing back released wrestlers as Tony Khan did for signing released WWE talent? Since becoming head guy in WWE, mostly what you see online is who could Triple H bring back? Well, this is the thing, though. You know, some people left WWE because they wanted to. It wasn't always because of Vince. Some people didn't want that schedule. Some people wanted, you know, to do some outside things. Some people, you see the issues with depression. There's a lot of mental health issues going on right now. And we've been in COVID the last couple of years. And, you know, just the climate out there is rough. A lot of tension, political, social. So not everything is like, oh, I want to work 300 days with WWE. So, you know, not everybody that left against their will, but some people that left didn't want to leave. And some people that left, we felt, a lot of people felt that, you know, they were released to no fault of their own. So some wrestlers that we wanted to see succeed never really got the opportunity where they could have been in a position to succeed. So we would love to see Triple H bring them back and give them the chance. You know, when you watch someone on TV, you get emotionally invested in the person. And, you know, if you start getting emotionally invested in someone and then they let go and they never got the opportunity, you know, and you feel like, wow, you know, they were misused, treated like shit, weren't pushed the right way. Well, you would like to see them get an opportunity to right the wrong. So that's why people feel what they feel about Triple H signing people. Where the problem falls is when you realize that the names that a lot of people want Triple H to bring back are the names of that they like. You bring up Nia Jax to people. You bring up Braun Strowman to people. And you hear the anger in their voices. Wait a minute. You only want the people brought back that you like? I thought this was more about, you know, some wrestlers. So you realize that people just want to see who they like. And at the end of the day, there is really nothing wrong with that as long as you're honest about it. You know, if you're going to make this into a social issue and then some people are brought back that you're not a fan of and you have a conniption over it, then you realize, no, I'm just a selfish wrestling fan and I only want what I want. And I don't care what you like. I care what I like and you should like what I like. SoFly is asking, this is a personal question. Do I have any regrets in not having kids when I was younger? Ever thought about adopting? Is my future wife asking about kids and wrestling? Do I think AEW has grown too fast? Feels they've rushed everything. They rushed to make the video game. I don't think they rushed to make the video game. I think Kenny Omega, especially being injured, he was utilized in a very good way. I do feel that AEW has been rushed a little bit. You don't see house shows. You see extremely expensive pay-per-view prices, extremely expensive t-shirt prices. And that is to offset the fact that Tony Khan wants to be the number two, wants to be the number one promotion out there, but is not going to generate the revenue that you would expect with a number one promotion. You would think they'd be touring every week. You would think that Ring of Honor would start doing shows. You would think this, you would think that, and that's not the case. We'll just sneak them on Rampage, sneak them on Dynamite, and we'll give that perception that it's back, and it's not. You don't see any house shows because they're not going to pay. They don't have the employees to pay that extra money, that extra time. People are there to work pretty much for Wednesday and maybe another day during the week, and then that's it. They're home. So in a lot of ways, Tony Khan wants to take the shortest cut possible to get up there. And sooner or later, it's going to be exposed. I mean, a lot of people are just turning a blind eye to it right now. But if Tony Khan truly wants to take it to the next level, you know, people are going to start addressing, hey, how come you don't tour? How come they don't do this? How come they don't do that? How come this? You know, why do we have to have $60 pay-per-views and $50 shirts? Not every shirt is $50, but you got to see. Oh, man, it's got a Street Fighter theme to it. $54.99 or $49.99, fuck that. You know? And then the shipping prices are twice as much of what they were 2 years ago. Don't tell me that shipping has gone up double in a couple of years. I know what the post office is. I know what UPS is. You know? It's just that that's where they're trying to make the money back. Okay, we're not making money this, so we'll just add $10 to this, and we'll add $5 to this, and we'll add $15 to this. Sooner or later, people are going to be like, man, I'm not going to spend that kind of coin anymore. As far as kids, you know, I kind of regret that I didn't have kids. But at this point, you know, I too way too past that point. I just want to enjoy whatever time I have left. I don't know how much time I have left. You know, two cancer scares in a couple of years. You know, I know some people online don't give a shit about something like that, but let me tell you something. When you, that rattles your brain, you know, and, you know, I see things happening to friends of mine that, you know, you never know. You never know what tomorrow is guaranteed. So, you know, right now I'm just concerned about having fun, you know, paying the bills and enjoying myself. And I know it sounds a little bit selfish, but, you know, I put me, my family and my fiance and my friends before anyone else, you know, because that's what you should do. You know, you can't depend on other people out there. So Day Hawk, would I consider working at Disneyland on a boat ride? The same one that Joey Ryan was on? Oh, hell no. Hell no. Joey Ryan was trending 2 days ago because of Effie, that wrestler. And it's like, it's pretty funny, man. Him getting busted doing the Jungle Cruise, I mean, I'm probably going to go on the Jungle Cruise when I go on my honeymoon. And when I sit on that boat, I'm going to think of nothing but Joey Ryan, picturing Joey Ryan doing that. Look, should he be banished from employment everywhere? No. You know, is he a creep? Yes. Did he commit any crimes? I don't know. Was he a manipulator to get in women's pants? Absolutely. You know, so have Jersey Shore rejects, just as a lot of people in clubs for decades and decades and decades. Joey Ryan is just a, you know, player. You know, should he be banished everywhere? But you know what? When he admits he's got an addiction and has to get help for it, and then you start hearing a couple little rumblings here and there, I think the last thing you want him to be around is scantily clad women walking around Disney World and this and that. So, you know, it is what it is. And look, it's Joey Ryan's own fault. It's Joey Ryan's own fault. Him trying to put the sympathy on himself, you know, I think that was his biggest mistake. Because when he tried to almost come off as a victim, it felt like you did the same thing to try to get into women's pants. Now you're playing as a victim again and trying to talk, this is why I sued people, this is why I did this, did that. He should have just come out and said, look, I like women. I love it, you know, emotionally, physically. I'm attracted to women. And was I the best guy? Did I make some false promises? Yes. But I never forced anybody against their will to fool around with me. If he would have just said that, I think a lot of guys, that, why do you think so many people still aren't angry with Vince McMahon? You know, they think like, you know, hey, you know, the guy fucking, he's a billionaire. And, you know, look, again, I don't condone what Vince did, but I'm just saying, you look at Joey Ryan, you look at Vince, and you do see a big difference in views. And, you know, I don't know, man. I'm just glad that none of us are in that situation. Seriously, who wants that trauma? Joey B. from Staten Island, Brad Shepard, fat-shamed Kevin Owens. This week after Raw, I'm assuming last week or the week before, my take on Brad Shepard, this guy. I'm gonna be nice about this. All I'm going to say is I'm not a fan of Brad Shepard. I'm just not a fan. I'm not a fan of his. There's few people online I'm not a fan of. You know, he's got his followers. Fat-shaming Kevin Owens. I did see the tweet. It felt like there's some real personal animosity there. And I don't know, man. I don't know. I just, you know, there's always going to be an audience for that. At this stage of the game, like, I just try to stay away from the negative vibes, the negative noise. It doesn't make me politically correct. It doesn't make me soft. I just don't want to waste my time. I mean, do you think I want to waste my time feuding with people on social media? I made the Samoa Joe post a couple of days ago, how little he's been used. And people think this motherfucker who's doing voiceover for a Peacock show that's going to air in 2023, they think this motherfucker is doing voiceovers for 3 months. They're like, oh, well, no, he's working on a project for Peacock. And that's because they did a Google search and read something that Tony Schiavone said 2 months ago. And you got to see the anger that people are getting over it. Oh, why do you got to fucking complain? What are you going to? And I'm like, yo, just stay the fuck away from me. Seriously. I want to see Samoa Joe back on TV. And you know what the funny thing is? I put that out there and I got a lot of heat. I saw somebody 3 hours ago post the exact same thing about Samoa Joe, and they just added one sentence. Man, I miss Samoa Joe. 4,500 likes in 3 hours. Person has half the followers I do. That just goes to show you people want certain emotionally charged tweets, whether it's a happy thing, posting pictures of puppies, or, you know, rescuing an animal, or you just tell it like it is. Hey, why is this guy not being used? Nobody wants that. They want the cuddle. Or they want the complete opposite. Roderick Howard, if the WWE sale ever does happen, could I see a scenario where The Rock is involved as a purchaser or an investor, shareholder? It's possible. It's possible. Just because The Rock is one of the greatest performers of all time, very likable man, possibly running for office in the future, doesn't mean that he would be a great executive for WWE or any company. You know, I'm not saying that he would be bad, but, you know, that's not the credentials that make you a good executive investor, this and that. But sure, why not? If he heads up a team, could happen. Why not? With WrestleMania 40 in Philly, seems like the perfect opportunity for a Paul Heyman induction into the WWE Hall of Fame. Who would be my choice to induct Paul Heyman? Brock Lesnar or Roman Reigns? Yes, we could choose ECW guys. I personally think Brock Lesnar or Roman Reigns. I think Paul Heyman will go into the Hall of Fame for WrestleMania 40. It's in Philly. 40 is a milestone. Paul Heyman is one of the greatest. My immediate reaction is Brock Lesnar or Roman Reigns. Hell, maybe both. Maybe both. Who do I have in my ECW Mount Rushmore? Terry Funk. Shane Douglas. If we're just going to use singles wrestlers, Terry Funk, Shane Douglas, Rob Van Dam. Tommy Dreamer. That would be my four. Gary Vaughn, I'm forced. This was great because these were emails. One was an email, one wasn't, and they were almost the same questions. Gary Vaughn, I'm forced to quantum leap one time. I get to choose who I will leap into and what time period, and it lasts a week. Who and what point in time do I choose? I'll stick to wrestling because someone else who posted a similar question focused on one particular year. I would have loved to be in Detroit for WrestleMania 3. Just be around almost 100,000 people. Hogan Andre was the biggest storyline at the time, even though people will tell you now it's Macho Man and Ricky Steamboat, which it wasn't at the time. The George the Animal Steel part of it made it more, you know, lighthearted than it should have been. But I would love, as a wrestling fan, because I was around WrestleMania 1. I was around years before it. I'm old. I was around, you know, some of the, you know, milestones. So for me, I would love to go back and be there for WrestleMania 3. That's what I would choose. Outside of that, you know, being a Met player in an 86 World Series, you know, I would love to have been Hogan in the match at WrestleMania 3. I would have loved to have been Bobby Heenan in WrestleMania 3. I would have taken that. I would have loved being Triple H when he made that return to Madison Square Garden after injury. Just to take in that noise, I would have loved to have been Steve Austin walking down the rampway when he chair-bashed The Rock when Mankind won the WWF title. There's a lot of moments to choose from. I wouldn't choose any tragedies. I wouldn't choose any tragedies, but that's a few right off the bat. All right, Jim Maggiore, I think that's it. SmackDown this past Friday will be reflective of Triple H's impact. That was last week. Rampage has collapsed, had $1.5 million for Punk. Now they're getting 350 to 500,000. Dynamite off of last year is off from last year. Remember the additions of Punk, Brian, Christian, Tony Storm, and others. Some of the usual suspects that post ratings are awfully quiet with their breakdowns. Rampage recently having record low numbers, but when they do a better number, it's the best number in 7 months. I see it. I see it, Jim. You have to expect it from those people because they have a track record of it. I mentioned this yesterday. SmackDown this past Friday was preempted in 25 markets, maybe 26 markets. So you knew the rating was going to be lower. And I watched some of those very same people you mentioned post the SmackDown rating and not mention that it was preempted in 24 markets. So they want, look, they want to die on that hill where they make things appear better than what they are. Sooner or later, people figure it out. Sooner or later, people realize that if Rampage is only 500,000 viewers when it was averaging 700,000, you could blame it on whatever you want. The fact is that 200,000-300,000 fans have chosen to do something else than watch Rampage when it's watched. And when it comes time to negotiate with advertisers and networks and everything like that, they're not going to go look at some of the journalists in wrestling and use their stuff as base to give a raise. Do I think AEW will get a better TV deal next year? Yeah, I do, because they are worth a lot more now than they were 3 years ago. But once we hit the anniversary of Punk's debut, once we hit the anniversary of Bryan Danielson's debut, people are going to then be forced to compare the numbers from a year ago. And when you realize how many people they have brought aboard and you see the ratings still similar, you know, that's a big deal. That's a big deal. But I also say this, you know, if you're enjoying wrestling, whatever you watch, just enjoy it. You know, don't let the outside noise or the, because look, being a little disingenuous about WWE content and being disingenuous about AEW content, that just shows that those people are just not 100% confident on what AEW provides. So they always have to tweak it and make it seem bigger and better than what it actually is. You know, that's why when I see the demos, and they put them in the top five, and then you look, and their ratings are nowhere near the people in the top 10 amongst other networks. And you're like, oh, come on. Oh, give me a break. So, Cruiserweight. Do I think WWE will ever incorporate a kiddie-type gimmick where a female wrestler has to wear a pull-up diaper after peeing on themselves? No. Will we see a wrestler pee their pants again like Vince McMahon when Bang 316 happened? Yeah, I could see that. But we're not getting, look, I don't know if GCW does stuff like that. I'm sure there's got to be a Japanese wrestling promotion that does that. I'm sure that there's feds out there that do have some fetishes that some people like. WWE is not going to go the fetish route. The closest you may get is Dominic Mysterio enjoying being bullied by Rhea Ripley. And I'm not even saying that's going to happen. Out of these sex acts, which of the three I am most likely to never do? Now, I'm not going to explain what one of these are. You can Google it if you want, but he wants to know, for some reason, from me, which would I never do? Peg, peg, rim, anal, sex in the shower, sex after eating, or having a threesome. I would never peg. I wouldn't have a threesome. I'm not interested in going that route. There's not much on that list. I would have sex after eating. Why not? I brush my teeth. I wash my hands. I burn some of the carbs that I'm having now off a little bit. Mark Bolsa, SummerSlam 22 is nothing short of legendary. From Ronda Rousey's defeat, Liv Morgan retaining the SmackDown title to Edge making a fiery comeback this year, witnessed some truly epic returns. To find out the most epic returns. Oh, wait a minute. Is this like an advertisement here? All right, so I guess he wrote an article. I don't know, you know, there was no like photos or anything attached. So all I'll just say is I agree with you. I did get a couple of people trying to like throw ads and stuff like that. I got an email from this guy, what's his name? Alex Long. He wants me to join up with Wisdom. I've never heard of it. Oh, you'll get the blue check mark on Wisdom like you would on Twitter. Like, who are you? And then at the very end, he says to me that, you know, you'll grow your audience even more. You'll get the badge. And you also get 500 Wisdom coin, which is their currency. No, thank you. I'm sure that there's other podcasters who would be very interested in joining Wisdom. My Wisdom says, stay clear the fuck away from you. Nothing personal. Mr. Cool Johnny Dude. Isn't anything extra worth saying Trump's memorial service except traffic being in... Are we going like into a... Is this, did something just like happen here? Something in the air all of a sudden? All right, I'm going to read this word for word. Isn't anything extra worth saying Trump's memorial service except traffic, been to Trump's building, Lenny sued you, Jeff's rental car, MJF situation, why don't I bother on marriage in general in recent years, we're familiar with news radio, which they were doing since the Attitude Era, don't bother on January 6th, except it isn't important to you country-wise, would I send Alexa Charlotte pictures from Extreme Rules, New York hot dogs, good or decent? All right, there's some things in here. Upon tragedy, what would I do? Anything on the 9/11 site? Would my wrestling buddies find out the brand of Cena's knee pads? Yeah, I could try to find out John Cena's knee pads brand, sure. When 9/11 hit, we tried to go down and see what happened. And we went on my boat, and it was a disaster. My father tried to go down to the site to help out a little bit. Didn't happen. When the plane went down in Rockaway Beach a couple of weeks later, my father was there. He brought food, brought cases of water for the rescue people. And you saw, I'm pretty sure you all saw the picture of my dad with Hillary. Hillary Clinton showed up at the plane crash site. The plane crashed 3 blocks away from my parents' house. So they were there. New York hot dogs are pretty good. I can't complain about New York hot dogs. Ballpark Franks are spectacular. I used to love Yankee Franks as a kid. Yankee Franks, especially when you ate one at Yankee Stadium. I still close my eyes, picture myself as a kid, walking down Yankee Stadium outside with my dad, and you smell the charcoal from the knishes and the pretzels being cooked. Anybody that's ever been to old school Yankee Stadium, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You can't make that shit up. And eating Yankee Frank, incredible. As far as the other stuff, we talked about Jeff's rental car on Monday, so that's a little complicated. We'll have an update on MJF within the next 2 to 3 weeks. By the next mailbag, we'll know pretty much about MJF. I can almost guarantee it. Now, will it be a mailbag before I go on my honeymoon? I'm not sure. I might end up doing a mailbag while I'm on my honeymoon because I'm sure there's going to be one night we're just going to be chilling with the nice summer air and I'm going to be a little bored. We might be sore from walking around for days and days and days. So maybe we'll do a mailbag while I'm out there. So, and as far as, you know, the Ivanka Trump funeral, Ivana Trump, you know, it was what it was. I don't know what else to say to that. I did not go to the funeral. So, okay. James, Do I see WWE using Jeff Jarrett and Paul Heyman to support the booking? Yeah, I do. I definitely see a few people giving some input. In fact, I do see some wrestlers also giving their input, suggestions to Triple H. I think down the line we will hear that some of the wrestlers with a little tweak in their characters might be credited to Triple H listening to their ideas. I think you will see everybody contribute in some ways. From what I heard, legit, no sources, what I heard, Triple H is very approachable. But people also realize that Triple H has a job to do. Sooner or later, you're going to see some people released. Sooner or later, you're going to see some people not being utilized the way that we all feel they should be. It's just a fact. And then you're going to realize that Triple H, there is things that he has to do that he doesn't want to do, but he must. He's got to answer to the stockholders, the investors. Just like what Vince McMahon said to Pat McAfee. Triple H is no different. And Stephanie is the one that is in charge with that. So what are you going to see people say? Oh, Stephanie and Triple H are at odds with each other. Triple H wanted to keep this person and Stephanie released this person. You watch. Remember, I said that. All right. Kevin Milwaukee, what's not to say? We're almost done, everyone. We're just about finished. How long are we going? A little over an hour. Okay. I got to get back to work. Kevin Milwaukee, what's not to say in a few years Vince comes back from exile? He's not in exile. And assumes his role. He's not going to be back on the board of directors. He's only going to get older. He's not going to get younger. He's going to get used to retirement. I expect him to be brought back to TV as long as we don't hear anything tragic happen in the near future. He's not banished from WWE. He's not exiled. He's not going to be erased. I know some people are trying to play off that he's being erased. No, they just don't want to focus on Vince. They don't want every Q&A, every interview to have Vince McMahon brought up. That's good business. It's not erasing Vince. It's the same morons that said that they were trying to erase Triple H. They're not. It's just Triple H and Stephanie and Nick Khan and everybody else want to focus on what's in the future of WWE. They don't want to focus on keep talking about Vince. That's it. There's no controversy with that. Rappers and ball players come out of retirement all the time. Brings up George Foreman. Pat Patterson returned after serious allegations. You're bringing up great examples, but again, Vince McMahon is already in his mid-70s. Vince McMahon is not in the pristine health that everybody believes that he is. You have investors. This is a publicly traded company. If George Foreman comes back to boxing, if a baseball player comes out of retirement, you're not going to have investors sell their stock. You might have fans complain if the person comes out of retirement and they're not delivering. Vince McMahon is a totally different thing. Vince McMahon owns 29 million shares of WWE stock. Vince McMahon has input. Anybody that tells you that Vince McMahon has no voice right now is just lying to you. You don't have 29 million shares and just sit back and either collect money or lose money. He has every right. And listen, Stephanie, Triple H, they love Vince McMahon. They're not going to stab him in the back. They're going to talk to Vince. Vince is going to give his thoughts and opinions. Some wrestlers are going to reach out to Vince. Hey, Vince, what do you think about this? What's your opinion on this? They're not going over Triple H's head. You know, just people online don't want you to believe that. So they'll just try to paint a picture that's totally opposite. He will be back, barring any health issues or tragedy. But he's not going to be back to resume his roles from before. No. Be interesting WrestleMania weekend if Vince is around at all. I expect Vince to be at the WWE Hall of Fame. I expect Vince to be appearing in certain places. Maggie Lusk, after a recent memo from WWE saying Vince has awesome segues. This is not intentional, everyone. I swear to God. I just copied and pasted and doing it. Maggie says, after a recent memo from WWE saying that Vince has no involvement in running WWE or say no say in creative, do I believe it? No. I believe that the everyday ongoings in WWE, Vince is not responsible for. But just as a common sense shareholder, you know, let me put it this way. What WWE is trying to tell everyone is, look, there's no secret meetings with Vince. There's no secret this with Vince. You know, as owning 29 million shares and still, you know, being responsible for this company, he's not there. The business decisions, he is not in the meetings. He's not on speakerphone. He's not on Skype. What WWE is saying is true. But that doesn't mean that if somebody wants Vince's opinion, they can't ask it. The man is not banned. This is not Pete Rose in Major League Baseball. I know there's a lot of people online that would love Vince to be banned, erased. It's just not the case. But they're not going to put themselves in a situation where Vince McMahon becomes the topic of conversation again. The less that they could talk about Vince right now, the better it is for WWE. That is what I believe. Maggie thinks still after 40 years under Vince's grip, Vince is sitting at home twiddling his thumbs, blissfully knowing that other people are running his baby. He's a control freak. Yes, I agree with you. Vince has got to be devastated. But I also believe that Vince is not a stupid man. And when Vince was putting his hands in the cookie jar and having people over the years threaten to tell the world about what he was doing, you know, let's be honest. Look at the Christy Hemme stuff. I hate having to throw her name out there. The fact that she never cleared her name up and told everyone, stop bringing my name, it's not me. You know, you got to think about that. Right before the Saudi deal, or right in the midst of the Saudi deal and the Fox deal, she comes back and says, hey, it's time to pay me, motherfucker. You know, Vince doing these things, Vince is almost like what Darby Allin is to stunts, doing stunt work. What Darby Allin is to stunt work, Vince is with sex. I think it was exciting for Vince. I think, you know, doing something that he's not supposed to, that's not against the law and it's not criminal, but doing something that, you know, like this, I think it was exciting. I think it was a challenge to him. But I also think in the back of his mind, he knew that a day would come that, you know, this is all going to come out. And when it came out, you know, he would, but forced to, that's why, look, man, you go back this year, the Pat McAfee interview out of nowhere, the WrestleMania match with Austin, some of the appearances that he did, showing up with the Austin Theory. I think during all that time, Vince knew, I'm done. I'm just about finished. It's a matter of weeks or maybe months before I'm got to go home. And I think that was Vince doing his bucket list, whatever he could, this year. If Vince never did these things and was not going to be forced to step down this year, I don't know if we would have Vince versus Austin. I don't know if we would have had that Pat McAfee interview. I don't know if we would have had some of the things we had with Vince this year. So I think he knew the writing was on the wall. And he did it anyway. Four more questions and we're out of here, everyone. Rams fan, the year is 1991. It's summertime. I got $150 on me. What am I doing with that money? I'm going to a club in Garden City, Long Island that was in the Garden City Hotel called the G Club. If you do a Google search, you will read stories about Club G back in the 90s, Sprats on the Water, the Harbor Club that was in Middle Village, Queens. Those three clubs, that 150 would go in that club. I would go to that club, drink, buy drinks for others, maybe get a little lucky that night. That's where my 150 would go. It's not even close. 1991 is a very, very memorable year for me going out partying with my friends. I went to Florida in 1991. We drove to Florida my two-tone 1983 Buick Regal, the thermostat was all fucked up. And we still drove to Florida with a messed up thermostat. Half the trip, we had to keep the heat on with the vent open so the engine temperature would stay a little cooler. That's how irresponsible we were. So we went to Florida in 1991. 1991 was a good year for yours truly. But if I had $150, I would have gone to a club. Blazing Bolts, top three favorite pro wrestlers currently. His is Roman Reigns, Jay White, and Juice Robinson. My current three favorite wrestlers. Seth Rollins, Kevin Owens, and if I'm forced to choose someone from AEW, Bryan Danielson. I would go with those three. Those three, and look, there's many others I could put in that top 10. But Seth Rollins, Kevin Owens, I know Kevin Owens has been out for a while, but those two and Bryan Danielson would be my three. George Ford, if Reigns loses both titles before Mania, which is rumored to be Reigns versus The Rock, besides McIntyre taking one of those titles, who takes the other? McIntyre will win both. Then McIntyre will be a fighting champion. And he will face someone on Raw, face someone else on SmackDown, and eventually lose one of those two titles. Or maybe Drew McIntyre, the next pay-per-view, maybe he is forced to wrestle twice. That's possible too. I would not rule out the possibility of one of those titles being lost on national television. I would not rule that out completely, that maybe an episode of SmackDown or an episode of Raw, Drew McIntyre, if Drew wins, it's not a guarantee. Some people are nervous about the back injury. But I think Drew McIntyre, if he wins both belts, he will lose one of them and keep the other for a little while. And that's it. I thought there was one additional question, but I realize it was Gary Vaughn with the Quantum Leap. I wrote it twice. So, hey, maybe Gary, maybe I just went back in time about 30 minutes ago and I was going to answer it again. So, we went 86 minutes, not bad. You know, just stick right to the mailbag. Now, you're welcome to be part of our next mailbag. You know, send in a question, not something that's going to be outdated, like, hey, who do you think is going to team up with the Young Bucks in the Trios tournament? By the time this airs, likely we already knew that answer. But if you have something else, and it doesn't have to be wrestling, you know, it could be anything, you have two ways of doing it. You could either email me, DonTony@DonTony.com, or you can, when I post the thread in the community section, which I usually do about a week before we do the show, but if you don't want to wait until I post it, then just send the email. But you can also, in the community section, post a question, and I will answer it. You know, all I ask is that if you could ask more than one, just, you know, keep it to the point, and nothing, you know, too, you know, extravagant that's going to make me, you know, spend a great deal of time. And if it's more than two, you know, keep it like rapid fire. This way we flow, we get through everybody's, and we have a nice fun show like we did. So I want to thank you for joining me tonight. Much love as always. On the way out, if you're on YouTube checking this out and you enjoyed it, smash that thumbs up. Consider subscribing. Consider being part of our Patreon family, patreon.com/DonTony. Every non-Patreon show that I do, you get ad-free versions of it there. We do monthly pay-per-view predictions contests there. Kevin Castle still does a weekly podcast there that is exclusive of patrons. And if that doesn't float your boat and you want to be a channel member here on YouTube, if you're an elite channel member here, you get my Patreon show that I do every Tuesday, strictly for our patrons, exclusively for our patrons. So if you want to eavesdrop and check out what I do every Tuesday night on Patreon, you know, you can get that as well. So everyone, have a great week. Much love as always. I thank you very much for your support. And that's what keeps me going. It really does. And I will never take that for granted. So you all be well. Stay safe. I'll catch you all again soon. Ciao, everybody.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.